for the sake of the new people who have joined together. Word without power. Loudly, everybody, as if you're fasting. Come on. Word without power.
Word without power.
You dry up.
You dry up.
Power without word.
Power without word.
You grow up.
Grow up.
But if you have the word,
and the power,
you grow up. Tell your neighbor, grow up. Don't blow up. Grow up. So here, Paul, I think this language is almost similar, though we are not sure whether Paul wrote Hebrews or not. They're still contending for that. But I believe, since this is the same word that is in Corinthians, I have a feeling it should be Paul, but let's go in to heaven and find that out. But here he says, by now you ought to be teaching. Not pastors, not apostles, not evangelists. God has called each and every one of us to be teachers of the word of God. Teach the basic principles. What are the basic principles? Let's look at 6:1. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion. He's telling, leave the basic. You don't have to keep speaking again and again, 52 weeks in a year. Keep talking to them, the elementary principles, basic principles. Let's go on to perfection. But let's see what is the basic. Okay, there are some seven foundational doctrines over there. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Oh my God, I can talk for 3 days about this.
Yes.
Repentance from dead works. We have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We speak in tongues, but there is no demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? We pray in the Spirit, but where is the outcome? Of course, we are growing inside. We are becoming stronger. But then it should be consistent with the fruit. You know, John the Baptist says, bring the fruit of repentance. Fruit. God is interested in the fruit. Tell your neighbor, God is not interested in your gift. He's interested in your fruit. We have to bear fruit. Who knows John 15, 16? Anybody? You know John? He used to come to our church before. John 15, with the old chapter, talks about, if you abide in me, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch, that bears fruit, he prunes so that he can bear much more fruit. You are clean because of the word that I have spoken. So you just read the word of God, you become cleansed. You don't say, Lord, I apply the blood, I scrub the blood, I do this, I do that. No, just listening to the word of God, you become clean. Just play Psalm 119 and go to sleep. When you get up, you're fresh in the morning. Amen? The word has a power to cleanse you. John 17:17, who knows it by heart? Sanctify them by your word. Thy word is truth. You know, if you don't know the word, my goodness, we may fall down by this word. So we need to know the word, because the enemy will come and see how much word is on the inside. Listen to this carefully. Miracles does not take you to heaven. I believe in miracles. I see miracles every now and then. It's easy for me to get miracles done than teaching the word of God. But miracles does not take you to heaven. It's the word of God that will take you to heaven. That is a good place to say some expression. Come on. Do you agree? Oh, I know you're all miracle-oriented people, not word. Are you word-based people or miracle-based people?
Word.
Should have said both. Okay, no problem. Yeah, we need both, of course. But then you cannot have a miracle without the word. But you can always have the word without the miracle. So miracles does not take you to heaven. Is my English okay?
Miracle.
How do you say? Trying to practice some accent over here. Okay. Is it okay, Pastor? Yeah, okay. You give me pass mark, I pass. Thank you. So, miracles does not take you to heaven. What takes you to heaven? Prophecy will not take you to heaven. Prophecy is just a signpost. I go outside, it says the direction towards Katie. The board says, Katie, I cannot get out of the car. And Lord, I thank you, it's little Katie. I've reached Katie. No, that's only a sign. Many people hold on to the prophecy. Oh, I got the prophecy. My iPhone is full of prophecy. Everything, we're holding on to the prophecy. No, prophecy is to give you direction. Prophecies will not take you to heaven. The word of God will take you to heaven. Amen. Yes, healing does not take you to heaven. What takes you to heaven?
The word. Okay, let's look at verse. Yeah, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit until it abides in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay. Which verse did I say? 16. If you abide in me. Okay, verse 7. So important. Look at this. If you abide in me, how do we know the Lord is abiding in us? His word abide in you. How much you have the word, so much you have the Lord. If the word is less, the Lord also has less place in your life, and the rest is occupied by the devil by default. I hope you understand. We are born loaded with the settings which the enemy sets. We are born slaves to the enemy. We are born full of worry, and we are born in sin. You know, Ephesians 2:2 says that. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says this. We are not going into it. But when you become a new creation, God changes the setting and He wants to fill you with the word. And then the more word you have, the more victory you have. Okay? And he says, where is that? Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. I like what Pastor Sudip said yesterday. You know, when you prophesy, even if you don't know anything, how much word you have, bring that out. If you still don't have the word, I'm sorry about you people. That's very true. So when we prophesy, it should bring forth the word. There's so much of word inside. The Holy Spirit picks up one word that will bless that person. Yes. Amen. You go to a doctor. I know many of your doctors over here. When the patient comes to you, they don't say, "All this medicine is good for you. Take it and go." No. They ask you what is the problem, and they diagnose and make a prognosis, and then finally, I don't know which comes first. Okay, I'm trying to use symptoms. And finally, they give you the prescription. That prescription, yeah. They prescribe certain medicines to take morning, afternoon, evening, whatever. Specifically, in the same way, the Holy Spirit is a great doctor. Amen? The great surgeon. Out of all the scriptures that is inside, it takes one scripture.
Hallelujah.
And gives it to you. That becomes a rhema. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. When you walk into the office, when you walk into the hospital, when you walk into the office, you're saying, "Lord, it's not me walking in. Jesus, you're walking with me. Holy Spirit, you're walking with me. Angels are walking with me. No demon in this place. Get burned in the name of Jesus." Amen. I know about Dr. John G. Lake. They'll put a virus in his hands and they'll have the telescope. Microscope. Thank you, sir. Correct me as much as possible. I like it. Microscope. Telescope is for the stars, right? Oh, yes. Got it. Forgive me. Yeah. So they put the microscope and they just see those germs, the virus. They just took it out of a person who had tuberculosis, skin and bone. The man who's going to die in a few hours, full of tuberculosis, full of virus. They take it from his body and put it in his hand, and right in his hands they see smoke and they get burnt. This is real. This man has fire in his hands. He by mistake puts hand on someone's shoulder. That man went home and his wife said, "What is this on your back? There's an imprint of 5 fingers. She said, "What? Somebody hit you or what happened? We went into some fight. Somebody pushed you down?" I said, "No, what is that? I see 5 fingers on your back." "Oh, that was John G. Lake. He laid hands on me and he prayed for me." Can you believe the impression was made on his finger? This is a funny joke, you know. I was sitting in a hotel. They told me, "Come for a pastor's meeting." I asked, "Tell me the menu and then tell me the venue." Okay, because I'm more interested about the food. And I said, "Wow, I like to eat food." They're doing Dubai, 5-star hotel. I said, "Pastor's meeting, wow, nice. Let's go." And I went late by 12 o'clock. And I'm sitting in the back near the buffet table, ready. The moment they say amen, jump and stand in the line, first in the line to eat the food. And then I was thinking, "Oh my God, this preacher is preaching so long." And the same what you're thinking right now. I said the same thing there. And I said, "Whoa, what's going on? Lord, help him to." I just said a small prayer. "Lord, you know I'm very hungry. Help him to finish fast so that I can eat first. And then I can come for the second session." The moment that word came out of my mouth, the preacher stopped. I wish God could hear all the prayers like this. The preacher stopped preaching and he said, "Okay, I'm sorry, we're going to finish now, and some of my team members will come around and lay hands on you and pray for you. And then if anybody wants to go for lunch, you can go." So I was about to get up and go for lunch, but I was sitting there
you know, and suddenly somebody puts the hand on my shoulder. I felt, you know, the heat coming, flowing through my body. I was just still sitting and focused on the food. And somebody comes behind me and puts the hand on my shoulder. Feel the fire coming. I turned and looked at this gentleman, the same man who was preaching. Elderly man with a coarse throat and speaking in the same tone, and you know, and I was kind of, you know, oh, why did he put his hand on me? And then he smiled and he said, mantle of miracles. I said, what? The mantle of miracles. I said, wow, that's good. Thank you, sir, I said. So the guy who was sitting next to me, who brought me to the meeting, got so jealous of me. He said, how come I brought you here and I paid the money and he's praying for you and he didn't pray for me? I said, you want to get prayed for? Yeah, for 200 dirhams worth prayer? Come, get up. So I took him to this gentleman and said, sir, can you pray for my friend? He's the one who brought me here. He paid 200 dirhams for the food that I'm going to eat. And you prayed for me and he didn't pray for him. He's feeling bad. He smiles at me and says, I can pray for you. No, it's okay. You already prayed for me. Just pray for my friend. He smiles. He said, maybe I have a word for you. I said, it's okay, sir. Just pray for my friend. And I don't know who this gentleman is. So he prayed for him and, you know, I asked him, who's this gentleman? He looks nice guy. His name is Bill Johnson. So who's Bill Johnson, by the way? This was way back, 2004, 2003. I was so dumb as I am now. I did not know who he is. I Googled and find out, oh, cancer healing, atmosphere of miracle. Anybody walks into the church with cancer gets healed. Wow, such amazing glory, angel visitation, feathers falling. I don't mind gold dust falling, but I like gold bars. Okay, I prefer gold. Who's interested in gold dust, you know? Who's interested in the fur and the feather? Let chicken fall and we can fry it, have some nice barbecue, okay? I'm not against all this stuff, you know? But the thing is, I did not know anything about it. Google and find out, Bill Johnson is cancer healing, miracles like this, and all the songs, I'm no longer slave to fear. I am the child of all the songs came out of Bethel music. I hear about, oh my goodness gracious, this gentleman wanted to pray for me. I mean, I told my wife, she got so angry. I don't know, why did you refuse him to pray for you? He wanted to pray for you. I said, I did not know, but he laid hands on me. No, you should have listened to him. You should have got prayed. How can you be like this? And then what happened? You know, to cut the short story long, I used to pray for people who had cancer. The moment I pray for cancer, the same day they die. I have the gift. Anybody wants me to lay hands and pray for you right now? No. I have the gift. I pray for people with cancer. Boom. Same day they die. And then there are times God has increased my level of faith. People call me, can you pray for my mom? She's dying of cancer. Give me half an hour. I'll be there. And in 5 minutes, I get a call saying, don't come. Your prayer is very powerful. She is peaceful now. No pain. God has answered. Before you could come, your anointing could come. And people are dying left, right, and center. So anybody says cancer, I don't want to pray for them. I say, can someone else pray for them? Because I want them to live longer. But every cancer patient, I laid hands. I let them to God. I'll ask them. I love to go to oncology department when 12 years, 13 years after Sunday school. I'll go there and pray for all those people dying of cancer. I said, you're dying of cancer? Yeah. You know, grandma, I'm going to die one day. You're going to die one day. You're dying early. I'm going to die late. We're all going to die. But when I die, I will go straight to heaven. Where you want to go? Oh, every night I get bad dreams. That Yama comes and threatens me to take me to hell. You don't have to. You can go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? She said, yes. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to die peacefully. I want to come to heaven. I don't want to suffer anymore. My children don't come and see me. But this guy, I don't know who he is. Like a son, he came, brought apples. I can't eat also, but bless him. And she's so happy. I lead them to Jesus. And the doctor congratulates me every week. That patient was there for 2 years. You prayed 2 days. Discharged. I was doing a great job. The doctors were happy. Hospital was getting emptied. John G. Lake anointing. Honestly, that's how I started my healing ministry. Now I know nobody will come to me for prayer. Thank God. Yeah, listen, the doors are locked. You can't escape now. Okay, I'm going to lay hands on some of you tonight. You know, listen to this. It so happened after this man of God put his hand on me. Mantle of miracles. I went We had a meeting in Faridabad. Yeah, it was an auditorium. And I was there. I said, people who have cancer, the very next week it was. I was in Delhi. I don't know Hindi, but I go, God takes me to places where I don't even understand the language. And I'm saying, there's a boy, 7-year-old boy with cancer, leukemia, blood cancer. Is that leukemia is blood cancer? I got that name, leukemia, 7-year-old boy, bring him. And all the pastors look around, they come and say, wrong word. First word itself is out. There's nobody 7-year-old here, no cancer. Sorry, no, other people with cancer came. I said, no, 7-year-old boy with cancer, leukemia. And they, the ushers ran, searched everywhere, couldn't. But one guy runs out to the parking lot and he's searching, and there's a bus stand over there, the entrance. He goes out there in the bus stop, and lady is sitting down with a boy in her hand in the lap. And he goes and asks, is this boy 7-year-old? He said, yes. Does he have cancer? She said, yes. He immediately picks up that baby, that boy, from her hand, skin and bone, and comes running, and that lady comes running. Why are you taking my son? Where are you taking my son? Thief! Call the police! You know? And she comes running behind, and this fellow comes running. He said, Pastor, I found the boy, 7-year-old, cancer, dying of cancer. I said, wow. Before you could come near the stage, the power of God will hit that boy. You watch the fun. And the moment he came near, and the boy jumped out of his hand and came running to me. And the mother was coming running, and the mother was hugging the son and said, wow, what happened to you? Nothing. I don't know, Mom. I'm all right now. I feel strong. I don't feel tired. I'm all right. The whole atmosphere was charged. People with cancer were being healed like that. So many after that. An atmosphere was created. Why am I saying this? It's so important that we understand that the God has given us gifts. He has given us mantles. There's an impartation. There's a transfer of anointing. You can just receive it here in this place. The other day I was telling somebody, one man had come from a meeting, and I mean, there was a man with HIV, full-blown HIV, about to die. The doctor in Andhra Pradesh, they told him, man, there's no cure for your sickness. Here, take 200 rupees, drink as much as possible, eat as much as possible, die peacefully on a railway track. There's no hope for that guy. Just send him, I'm doing you a favor, just get drunk and go home, do whatever. So this fellow wanted to get drunk and go and die. But while he was going, it happened in brother to brother. And village, it's the first time I went to that place. And I was there praying for people. And this man comes with pus on his face and bleeding and drunk and smelling. And the women were running away because of this man. And I said, excuse me, can you go stand there? I pray for you. No, pray for me now. He's telling me, pray for me now. I said, wait a minute, I'll pray for you. But it so happened, you know, while I was praying for these people, and I looked after for some time, he was gone. And I said, thank you God, this man is gone. I don't know what was this guy. He was smelling so badly. And it so happened, after some months, I get one letter saying, I came to your meeting. I'm a Hindu. I did not come for you. I came for Jesus. And you refused to pray for me because I was drunk and I was smelling and looked so bad. But you know what I did? I came behind the stage and touched your dress, because I didn't touch you, I touched Jesus who lives on the inside of you. Can you see that? I refused to pray for him, but he had a faith that if he touches my dress, he can get healed. But the moment he touched it, he felt the power flowing in his body. He dried up. He went home and took a shower. Next day, went to the doctor and said, doctor, can you check my blood? The doctor checked him and said, where did you go for treatment? There's no cure for this HIV. There is no trace of HIV in your body. Completely healed. Come on, somebody clap your hands for Jesus. He's a healer. Amazing. But you know what? The best thing is, this guy who realized that Jesus healed him and Jesus lives in him went to the same HIV colony and laid hands on 200 people with HIV. All got healed. See, his faith, all got healed. He came back after many years. He's got married, he's got children, and the negative, and amazing. A Hindu man has more faith than all the Christians put together. Look at you people staring at me. It's all because of? Can you say it loudly? All because of?
Jesus.
So, Paul says, do I have to give you the elementary teaching of faith in God? Look at that. Look at that. Can we read that verse, please? Please. It looks like God is rebuking you in a very gentle way.
Yes.
Yeah. I
wish you can rebuke it a little stronger, because he did that with me. Why are you showing partiality to you people? Okay, again, repentance from dead works. What is dead works? You know, which faith without works is dead. We have great faith. Oh, we believe in the God. God has given you Romans 12:3. I'm running short of time. You know, a brother's been telling me you need to come back and we'll do a school of prophets and we will train an army in this place. Amen. We train up generals and we'll do hands OJT, on-job training. Amen. Get the sick people and I'll show you how to pick them up from the wheelchair. You know, I don't know whether you've done your homework, see those videos on the YouTube, how a man with broken bones walked, and a girl was in the wheelchair, now she's happily walking in the mall and sending me Instagram pictures, you know. See, I'm dancing in the mall, I'm having my Valentine. She could not walk, totally crippled in the wheelchair, and she's walking. Amazing. I was in a service where, God told me, I'm going to heal the deaf people. I said, sure, Lord, I'm very excited. And I said, all the deaf people come in front. Jesus said he's going to heal you. Nobody came. I said, what's wrong with you all? God's going to heal the deaf. Get up and come before the Lord goes away from the service. Nobody came. Again, third time. This is the last time I'm going to go home. All those are deaf. Come in front. Nobody came. I said, God, something wrong. Then the pastor comes and says, if they're deaf, how can they hear you? You know? Can God use a dumb person? I'm not dumb. No, answer in Jesus' name. I mean, don't want to put self-curse on me. No way. Out in Jesus' name. Okay. Can God use a person like me who didn't even use the common, the greatest gift God has given you, above the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of common sense? We don't use even that. So, the pastor comes, ask the neighbor to check with them. Okay, thank you. Go back. I don't want anyone to know I made a mistake. Okay. Then he says, I tell the people, check your neighbor. See whether they can hear. If they cannot hear, bring them. You know how many people they brought? 17 deaf people they brought. 17 deaf people. And I like it very in style. Everybody stand up to your feet. Hallelujah. Yeah. Check, Steve Brock. Go check whether they have been healed. Go lay hands. Check, find out. Bring the testimonies. I like that style. I don't like going and laying hands on her. And this was a remote village, Shillong, beyond Shillong. Cold climate. And these people did not take bath for a long time. They just cover the blanket and they come for the service. I didn't want to put my dirty fingers in their clean ears. You understand what I'm saying? And God says, put your finger on the ears. I said, we didn't agree for this. You said you'll heal the deaf and I call the deaf. You better heal them. No. You didn't hear me properly. You should have done this properly. You should have checked, told them those who are deaf, check with them and bring them in front. But since you messed up, you go lay your finger on those people. God, I didn't bring the sanitizer with me. I don't know these people. God said, do it. So very reluctantly, no faith, totally discouraged, I go down, put my finger open, very reluctantly, open. God honored their faith. All the 17 deaf ears opened. Come on, clap your hand and say, praise the Lord. All the 17 ears opened. And I got so upset with them. You are the healer. You could have just healed them straight away. He sent his word and healed them. So I said, be healed, and they get healed. Now, why you want to change the strategy? God is a God of strategy. Tell your neighbor, God is a God of strategy. If he's going to bring a revival in Houston, he's going to have a strategy for that. He has a strategy for that. He will not use old method or African method or Korean method or Brazil method. He's going to use Houston method. Amen. He has an original plan. He's got an original strategy. And he is going to bring a revival in this city. Amen. I know it. So we don't have to go on laying the foundation of repentance, of faith towards God. I don't have to come and teach you about faith. You already have faith. You need to develop that faith, implement the faith, execute that faith, you know, give some work for that faith before God takes away. Matthew 25:29, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom the one who does not use what he has will be taken away. We don't want that to happen. Say, no, Lord. Don't do that. Amen. Talks about doctrine of baptisms. Different kinds of baptism. I asked one pastor, full gospel pastor, what are the different kinds of baptism, you know? He said, child baptism, you know, that baptism, this. I said, no, shut up. That's not the way. different baptism of fire, baptism of, you know, suffering which Jesus went through. My goodness, baptism, the word, unless you're born of the word, the water and the spirit. You know, there are so many different kinds of baptism. I don't have time to tell you about the laying on of hands. We don't lay hands for everything, but the laying on of hands is a doctrine by itself. Resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. I wish we have time to explain all this, but these are the basic foundation. If we do not have, we are not well equipped with this foundational teaching and the doctrines of the Word of God, when revival comes, we are going to miss it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. There was a man called Larry Lee. I don't know whether you heard about him. Apostle of Prayer, they call him. And he had a big church somewhere in Texas. I think so. Larry Lee, Rockwall. Is that right, auntie? Rockwall, Texas. Big, amazing man of God. I met him in 1995. He came to Mumbai. He was preaching. And he told, after he finished the Bible college, he was full of fire, full of the anointing. 5 years under Bible college. Everybody laid hands, impartation, anointing. And he thought, I'm going to bring revival to the whole world. And nobody called him to preach. He finished the Bible college. Nobody's calling him to preach. Nobody. And finally, after 6 months, somebody called him and said, can you come to our town? I said, who is this? Are you Larry Lee? Yes. God told us to invite you. Who is this? I am intercessor. Intercessor? How old are you? I am 85 years young. And I am praying that God will bring revival in my village. So God told me to call you. Give your number. How many of you are there? 3 of us are there. None of us have teeth, but we still have strong mouth to pray. And we believe God is going to use you to bring a revival. I'm not a mimicry specialist, I'm just trying to get your attention. Thank you, doing good. Thank you so much. Thank you. And this man, he said, okay, instead of sitting at home, let me go to the village. He goes there, a chapel, a beautiful chapel, and he gets all excited to preach. This elderly audience, they can come, welcome this guy, is young, with a cowboy hat, and all set for revival. And then, son, this is your room, you sleep. Anything you need, we'll give you next day, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. How many of them coming? Lot of them, son, they're coming. The whole village. We are praying for the whole village. And then he goes all set, tie and suit, goes morning to preach in chapel. Only three are there sitting in the front. Preach, son, you want to hear about revival. This man's heart sank. Did I come all the way? What about your daughters, granddaughters, any young girls in your church, young boys? And you know, he was all excited to have a youth meeting. He feel somebody prophesied he'll be a youth pastor, this, that. And here are 3 old, 85, 86, and 90-year-old grandmas. Real incident. Sitting, and he lost for scriptures. He doesn't know what to preach. And then he said, I don't know what to preach. Did not God tell you to preach about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Yeah, that's right. How do you know? We know about it, what God spoke to you. So then he opened the notes and then takes the Bible and starts preaching. And evening, please take rest and come back. We have prayed for this meeting. How long did you pray? You didn't look like you prayed enough. We prayed for 25 years. 25 years for this revival. And before that, we prayed for another 35 to 40 years till God gave us the word. 25 years back, God told us. He was not even born. 25 years back, God told us, young men called Larry will come to this church and I will bring revival. And they refused to die because God said, you will live to see the revival. And they lived 85 years and God gave them the number. And they called and they came. He said, this is all hocus pocus. I don't believe in prophecy. You go get into the village, get some people. Second day, he preaches, 3 people. And he didn't prepare the message. And then, did you not read Psalms 91 this morning? Yeah. How do you know? Do you have spy camera in the room? You're watching what I'm reading in the Bible? You preach about Psalm 91. Then
continue to preach. So these people seem to know all that he's doing in the closet. And then third day, he says, this is the last day, I'm going home. And thank you, mamas, I love you. I gave them my kids and said, this is the last message.